Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News. I'm Derek Dennis. The Pentagon announcing a tactical move. More military might on the way to the Middle East.
The Pentagon moving a guided missile submarine, the USS Georgia, to the Middle East. The location of that sub, armed with cruise missiles, normally top secret. And by also speeding up the redeployment of an additional aircraft carrier to the region, the US upping its message of deterrence, telling Iran and its proxies to back down.
ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge. A big accusation in the race for the White House. Former President Trump attacking his rival, Democrat Kamala Harris. She rallied last night in her hometown of San Francisco, California, and touted no taxes on tips for service workers. Trump says Harris stole one of his campaign promises. The city of Uvalde, Texas, has released a batch of files from the 2022 Robb Elementary School massacre, including police text messages and videos from that deadly day, most of it confirming that the police response was full of confusion, chaos, and a deadly delay. 19 students and two teachers killed. This is ABC News. Investigators in Brazil still trying to figure out why a plane crashed there last week, killing dozens of people. ABC News transportation correspondent Gio Benitez.
Over the weekend, the families of the 62 people who died in that plane crash in Sao Paulo gathering together just hours after investigators recovered the black boxes. The big question now, how did it happen? The plane itself was not that old. It flew about 14 years. Some experts wonder if ice could have built up on the wings. Brazilian officials had been warning of severe icing in the area.
Among those killed, a 3-year-old child and 8 doctors. Jury selection later today in the murder trial of a former Las Vegas area politician accused of killing a reporter. Robert Tellis has been the subject of several articles written by Jeff Gehrman. Firefighters in Greece trying to get a wildfire under control, burning on the northern edge of Athens. A children's hospital and a military hospital have both been evacuated. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
News, I'm Ella Sapp. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Help is on the way for Rock County homeowners affected by storm damage. The Rock County Board approved $1 million in emergency relief on Thursday. The money comes from the American Relief Act, which was part of the COVID pandemic response. Northeast Wisconsin Democrats are urging a no vote on Tuesday's constitutional amendment ballot questions. Lisa Hale reports.
8th Congressional District candidate Dr. Kristen Lierley said the amendments would take federal fund distribution away from the governor's office and put it in the hands of the legislature.
This Republican-led legislature is the least effective, the least responsive legislature in decades. And they want the reins in the case of an emergency?
Lierley pointed to the legislature's delay in distributing PFAS cleanup funds as an example.
And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Pack is back at practice. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Browns 23-10 over the weekend. At halftime, Packers defensive coordinator Jeff Hafley challenged his players they needed to make a turnover in the second half. Rookie safety Evan Williams, out of Oregon, did just that, coming up with a forced fumble early in the third quarter.
Yeah, it felt great. Really just play fast, use our instincts, and yeah, just fly around. I mean, that's what I had the most fun with today. I felt like fly around, and you know, and coach always preaches that. Just the jobs aren't that difficult. Run to the ball and just just do your job, we're going to be successful.
Baseball. The Brewers open an important series tonight against the Dodgers. LA in first place in the NL West. The Brewers losing 4-3 to the Reds Sunday. But D.L. Hall was back on the mound. Pat Murphy?
Yeah, I think since he's been a starting pitcher, I think he's become more of a complete pitcher, and that's kind of cool. He's really become a pitcher.
Now, if the Brewers just go 500 for the rest of the schedule, they would finish with 90 wins this season. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Clear tonight, 55, sunshine, and 81 for Tuesday. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Slight chance of a shower Wednesday, otherwise mostly sunny, 81. Showers and thunderstorms likely Wednesday night, 62.
It's 57 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we talk to retired Rear Admiral Joe Seestack about Project 2025's impact on the U.S. military and the state of education in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, unabashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's nice to have you here at 7:06 on this Monday morning, August 12th. Coming up this hour, we will talk about the end of the Paris Olympics, the closing ceremonies, some of the sports highlights as well. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell will be along with three things you need to know to start the week. Up North News reporter Selena Heller is here, and at 7:20, we'll talk about Project 2025 and its impact on school lunches. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here for a few more minutes. We'll ask her about the 8th Congressional District race that she's running in. There's a Republican primary in that race tomorrow. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here now to talk about the forecast. But first, we had to discuss last hour whether you were a Backstreet Boys fan or a, what was it, NSYNC fan. And, of course, Selena had to play wild card and throw out New Kids on the Block.
What about 98 Degrees?
To which Tony replies, the disrespect to 98 Degrees.
To Tony and to Brittany, what about them?
Okay. Not getting any better out there. Brittany, good morning. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. I went up north. I got to go kayaking on some whitewater rapids. Wow. And just soaked up the beautiful weekend. How about you guys?
It was gorgeous. I mean, just gorgeous. Did a lot of around the house here. A friend of ours, Dan Schumacher, had a big backyard party over the weekend with a live band, and that was always nice. Kristen was doing polka dancing in a parade. Nice. So she had that going on. So yeah, everybody's had a good time, and it's a gorgeous morning up here on Lake Wissota. How are we doing to start the week off around the state?
We're going to keep the good times rolling. We're looking at sunny skies today. Temperatures rising to the upper 70s and low 80s all across the state. Some calm winds. If you live by Lake Michigan, you'll get a little lake breeze this afternoon. Otherwise, it's just going to be a little spotty sprinkles, mainly towards the Fox Valley and Lake Michigan area. Everybody else will stay dry today. That chance pops up again tomorrow before all the heavy rain moves in on Thursday. So we have beautiful 3 days ahead of us, low 80s, not much going on, basically.
That's okay. But this is a good way to have not much going on. Good morning, Rob says, to my friends from Tigerton. It is sunny and 55. It sure feels like autumn. I was wearing a sweatshirt mowing lawns in recent days. Today, it's been 3 years since my mom passed away, and my mom worked third shift at the Tigerton Cafe when she graduated from high school until I was born. I hope to see Kristen at the Tigerton Lumberjack Days Parade on August 25th.
Well, thanks, Rob. I'll put it on the calendar. We'll see if we can make it.
There you go. And a note here, I don't have the picture to show you, but on the text line, from Lynn in Oconomowoc, talk about knowing how to play along with the show here, says, I was running errands in Wauwatosa Saturday morning after water Zumba, and I stopped by Firehouse Subs and got a hook and ladder sub, turkey, ham, cheese, lettuce, tomatoes, and dressing on a wonderfully fresh sub bun. Lynn, that's how you play the National Sandwich Month game on Up North News Radio.
I still have not released my controversial statement, and it's coming soon. It's coming soon.
Okay. That's a tease.
Yep.
Yeah, you're really building it up. Now there better be a payoff on this one.
Well, I'll just say this. Last time I said this on the air, people got upset. Like, upset?
Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Okay. Nobody wants to get upset with you.
I don't back
down.
It's
like getting upset with Teddy Ruxpin. I mean, come on.
Teddy Ruxpin.
Look at him. He's a big cuddly sweetheart. Nobody's going to get upset with Greg Bach.
Teddy His Ruxpin.
Face right now. I look like Teddy Ruxpin if he got into pills. Okay? Seriously.
Thank you, Brittany. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, guys. You too.
Oh, that took a left turn really quickly here. All right, we're going to talk to Celine about the Harris Walls rally and Project 2025 and other matters in just a bit. But while we've got Kristen here, we wanted to get in a bit about the primary election that is tomorrow all over Wisconsin. There are two constitutional referendums that we've talked about plenty of times previously. But there are also primaries. In the last hour, we had William Garcia on, the chair of the 3rd Congressional District Democrats, about coming together after tomorrow's Democratic primary. Kristen, you're the Democratic candidate in the 8th Congressional District. You don't face a primary, but there are three Republicans vying to see who will take you on for a currently open seat in the 8th Congressional District in Northeast Wisconsin. So here's a unique perspective. Let's ask you, what are the issues that the three Republicans running in the primary are dealing with? What are they campaigning on as they figure out who's going to win tomorrow's primary?
As Lawrence Andreas said this morning in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, it's about Trump. These three folks are trying to demonstrate that they are as close to or far away from Trump as possible. So we've got Tony Weed, whose yard signs literally lead with Trump endorsed on the top before they even say the candidate's name. That's how important Trump is in his candidacy. And then we've got Roger Roth, who was saying in his commercials, I'm going to build Trump's border wall. And then we've got Andre Jacques, who says, I am not the establishment, and I've spent my entire life fighting against the establishment. And if you haven't seen the ad with Andre Jacques as a boxer, it's priceless. I highly recommend it. So these three folks, who are three very unique individuals, have been duking it out over the past few months. We're all looking forward to seeing who comes out of the primary on top. I can't wait.
Well, I'm sure you can't, because they've had quite the enthusiastic time targeting each other and talking all about Trump. But I mean, you know this race completely pivots after tomorrow and takes on one issue probably more than many others, because you're the one on the candidate. You're the one on the ballot.
Well, it's an issue that they are not able to talk about. They've had two debates, and the topic of reproductive rights, certainly abortion, has not come up at all, except in the first debate where one accused the other of being too pro-life. But otherwise, they aren't able to address this. The issue of the border comes up repeatedly and in all different ways. So they clearly are not tapping into concerns that so many people in the electorate have. And it lays bare their failure to understand what people are concerned about. Reproductive rights certainly isn't the only thing. I mean, the economy is the number one thing for most people, but reproductive rights tie deeply into our ability to be able to provide the things that our families need. If we can't control the trajectory of our lives, I mean, we can't afford childcare. We can't get jobs. We're stuck in a pattern where we can't get education. There are so many different things that the ability to make our own personal healthcare decisions then have an impact on. And that is the one thing that they are failing to address.
Greg, you had a question related to the primary tomorrow.
Does aligning themselves with Donald Trump so hard lately harm them in any ways and just make them not seem like their own candidates?
Well, I think in this district, remember, Mike Gallagher was the congressman here, and he was very, very popular until he started to separate himself and speak more independently. Remember when he voted against the impeachment of Mayorkas, that was kind of the nail in his congressional coffin within his caucus. So right now, it's actually this guy who was so popular a year ago, now it's an insult to say that you are like Mike Gallagher. Things have completely changed. So Trump controls this area. It controls the leaders in this area. The people of the area who often identify as independents or maybe moderate Republicans, they don't align with that. So the Republican leadership is very Trumpy. And this is part of the problem with the primary system. They're pushing each other further and further to the right. And it's likely that we're going to end up with the most extreme person. I wouldn't be surprised if Andre Jacques won this primary, even though he hasn't been a great fundraiser, because he is the most extreme person.
And can dress up like a wrestling superstar with the best of them, I guess.
Oh my God, that right. commercial.
In a parody film. Tomorrow, we'll get into more issues related to the campaign. Hans Breitenmoser is going to be here, a dairy farmer from Lincoln County. And we're going to talk about tariffs and Trump. And why does Trump love tariffs so much? And what did those trade wars do to Wisconsin farmers and the economy? So many more issues to cover. And then, of course, when we talk to Kristen next week, we'll know, the full scope of the candidates in the race as well. But obviously, tomorrow first it starts by voting, and that's what everybody needs to do, including the constitutional amendments that are on the ballot for tomorrow. Now, you had a busy campaign, didn't come out to the Chippewa Valley for the Harris Walz rally, though I have a feeling one or both of those individuals is going to be in the Fox Valley at some point between now and November. So you're going to get your chance. It was Selena and me who got sunburned at this particular rally. Selena, before we go to break, I just wanted to get any other impressions that you got from the many people that you interviewed.
Oh gosh, I talked to almost about 20 people specifically, and was just so, I think I talked to them like beforehand and after it was just the overwhelming feeling that they were so filled with hope. And one of the people I talked to said, "It just feels good to feel so good." And I think that was the general sentiment of the crowd there that day. So it was pretty neat to talk to a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons why they were there and wanted to hear the messages.
Kristen, did you have anybody that you know that made the long drive out to be part of the rally?
Yes. And actually, we were making phone calls. And during that time, I got in touch with someone who was walking away from the rally, and he was exuberant. And the one word he had to describe how he felt was joy. Mm-hmm. We've been waiting for so long for something positive to happen. And with Harris at the top of the ticket, and now with Tim Walz, who is the most authentic, genuine, good human being. You hear these hits that the Republicans are placing on him that are so, like, they don't even know what to say or what to do, because he is just such a fundamentally good person. So I'm thrilled with this ticket.
Yeah, they are just not landing at all. Mm-hmm. In our daily newsletter, in today's edition, we have an article about the billionaires who are behind the Trump-Vance 2024 campaign. J.D. Vance owes much of his 2022 senatorial success to the tech billionaire Peter Thiel, who spent $15 million to help elect him. More about some of the other high-profile, high-wealth backers of the Trump-Vance campaign, and much more, including some features on Sheboygan in today's newsletter, the Malibu of the Midwest, some would say.
It is lovely.
Sign up for that newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Kristen, enjoy the rest of the day and the results tomorrow, and we'll look forward to talking to you as a general election campaign candidate next time around.
Thank you, my friend. Happy Monday, everybody.
Have a great day. More with Selena and Project 2025 when we come back. You're up north.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Wisconsin's fall primary election is Tuesday, August 13th, with constitutional ballot questions, a U.S. Senate race, contested congressional primaries, and new legislative maps. This fall, Wisconsin decides.
Be a voter, then tune to your local Civic Media radio station for coverage you won't find anywhere else.
I'm News Director Terry Bell. When the polls close at 8, our news team will bring you results from all over Wisconsin.
Election coverage live, Tuesday, August 13th at 8.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the app.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
I was in a drive-thru line and forgot to order. I was on the phone, thought I ordered, and just stayed in line and got up to the window. There was no order for me. And I said to the guy, I go, can I just order now? And he was so condescending. And he goes, well, typically what we do, sir, here is we order back at the speaker, and this is where you pick it up. I've never felt so stupid in my entire life.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I really don't have a sense for when to come in on these things. So we're playing a lot of Metallica today because they had two different milestones on today's history calendar as far as album releases. So much like on Grateful Dead Fridays, I turned to my special Metallica correspondent, Greg Bach, to say, what is this?
So this is a song off of their 1991 release, the Black Album. And it's called The God That Failed, and it's a song about the lead singer who grew up in a Christian Science family, and his mother passed away from cancer because she refused medical treatment. So, I know, it's a heavy song, but yeah, like I said, I love his album, I love his band.
And then there's Backstreet Boys, who sang Quit Playing Games With My Heart.
Exactly.
It's the alpha and omega of music you get here on Up North News Radio.
We also saw Journey over the weekend in Arcadia.
Journey? Journey or like a Journey cover band?
No. Journey.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I mean,
that was probably the biggest crowd. I don't know that. I think other people were talking about that. That's probably the biggest crowd that's been to this music festival.
Do you know the name of the lead singer now who was doing the singing? Do you know?
I know.
Okay. Because everybody knows who the lead singer was during all their hits, right? Steve Perry. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows that. But then they kicked Steve Perry out or he left. There was some kind of a dispute, as there always is. But they do continue to play. Steve Perry was not like one of the founding members. He kind of came along later and then he left.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure for the original members who've been around the whole time, they still have to feel like, what do we got to do here? How come we're still known as the Steve Perry Band? Well, because the guy had the voice of an angel. That's why. And so, yeah, they still play. They're playing in Arcadia. Mm-hmm. Just with a different singer whose name we don't know. The Cincinnati Reds beat the Milwaukee Brewers 4-3 to snap the Brewers' 5-game winning streak. Joey Ortiz had a 2-run homer. DL Hall pitched 4 2/3 innings, this first game since he injured his knee in April. He got a career high 9 strikeouts in those 4 2/3 innings. The Brewers now lead the National League Central by 7.5 games over St. Louis. Now Freddy Peralta takes the mound this evening for the first game of a very important 4-game series against the LA Dodgers. They'll be at American Family Field for 4 games starting tonight. Pre-game at 6:35 on several Civic Media radio stations. First pitch will be at 7:10. The Packers had their preseason opener on Saturday afternoon against the Cleveland Browns. That's all I'm going to say about it. Score doesn't matter. It's preseason. It's just a chance to get out on the field and say, oh, yeah, this is what a helmet feels like. Okay. The actual games will count a little bit later on. Selena, back to campaign issues for a sec here. And the way that former President Donald Trump is trying to backpedal on Project 2025, this 900-page tome of basically wish list items from dozens of conservative to far-right groups, all in one place, one-stop shopping for all your conservative political needs. And it has provided a lot of material, not just for Vice President Kamala Harris and for Democrats and for progressive groups, but, you know, for journalists, for anybody that wants to dig into this and say, okay, if this is the blueprint for a second Trump term, what does it mean to me? And so you've started working on that in terms of things as, like I said, it covers so many things, even school lunches. Yeah. So what do we learn about school lunches and the impact on families?
Oh my goodness. I started reading some of this and it was just unbelievable. Just every sentence had something to pick and get rid of and dismantle. And it was just mind blowing. And on page 303, it talks about school lunches and providing them for kids. And there's a grant that is funds the community eligibility provision. It's also known as CEP for short. And that program was expanded by the Biden-Harris administration last fall. And it gives students in schools or districts free meals if a certain percentage of students are eligible. And so that's a lot of low-income school districts across the country. There's about a couple years ago, the number was 40,000 school districts took part in this program. And it was just, and then the year after that, 7,000 more schools. And so it's just increasingly important for kids to have these meals.
But, well, because like you note in the article at upnorthnewswi.com, there are 20 million children who attend a school that utilizes this program that can lead to free and reduced meals. And so, I mean, the impact is widespread. And so what is it that Project 2025 would do?
Eliminate it.
Eliminate
it. So the wording is federal school meals increasingly resemble entitlement programs. So it urges, the author urges the elimination.
Those lazy kids. Oh my God. Wanting to eat. Oh, can't believe it. You talked to somebody in New Auburn about this.
Yes. A school superintendent, Jim Reef, and his school utilizes that program. And I didn't know it when I called him. And he just told me, yeah, because their school district is over 50% that would get free or reduced lunch. So they qualify for the CEP. So all of the kids, 300 kids in that school district get breakfast and lunch, and it helps families out so much. And this is Jim Reef, the superintendent in New Auburn.
We face people having to pay for their kids' lunches a lot more. Like we said, an average kid is probably $5 a day. So $25 a week per child, $100 a month, if you have three kids, that's $300 a month. That's a pretty big hit to the budget. Again, about half our kids have free and reduced lunch. And so, the reduced lunch cuts off probably 75% of that cost. So, but even that, is going to put a strain on families' budgets because you have to be well below the poverty line to get free and reduced lunch. So
he talks about, what are they going to do if this program is eliminated and hopes that it can continue? They hope that they can keep getting this funding for a long time.
Just the notion that they would use the word entitlement when talking about feeding children at school. I have made this point before and I'll make it again and again. It's one thing to get on a city bus and, pay a fare, because there's a fare box right there. Is that where we're going next? Do we charge kids a fare? Do we put a fare box? And if they can't pay, they don't get on the school bus that morning? No, we give them a ride to school. They're at school all day. There's no reason for these kids to be hungry. It has to be just baffling to the New Auburn superintendent and anybody else that this is even something we're talking about. But it is.
All right. And they say, and there he said, they work with the area food pantries in Chautauqua and Bloomer. And he just said, increasingly we're giving out more of these groceries from these food pantries. And it's just this, we have these people, all of these groups of people, middle class, any class, that need some help.
The education of our children and the feeding of our children should not rely on somebody else's charity. Selena Heller, thank you as always. Have a great day. We'll talk to you a little later.
All right.
All right. We'll talk about the closing ceremony of the Olympics and more coming up in just a bit on Up North News Radio.
Eagle 1490 AM. This is your local civic media radio station.
Want to hear even more anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
A federal agency trying to get a little bit more friendly for farmers. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and fiber news for a Monday. That's right, changes coming to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency offices. Details coming up.
Big opportunities don't wait for the winter meeting season. Stay in the know now with Compere Financial's AgriMindset webinars, where industry experts bring you the latest in ag. And you don't have to leave the farm to listen in. Join us August 21st at 1 o'clock for an in-depth hour on navigating technology investments to benefit your farm in today's market. Sign up for Compere's next AgriMindset webinar at compere.com/register. Compere Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024. All rights reserved.
Beginning in late September, the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Farm Service Agency offices will be implementing some changes to make their loan program a little bit more attractive and easier to work with for farmers of all types. Gene Schrieffer is executive director of the Wisconsin Farm Service Agency offices and explains the rationale.
This has been a passion project of listening to farmers. And I've heard it from farmers as I've traveled around, you know, how difficult it can be working with FSA and how soon people like to get out of FSA and go to commercial credit because of our very tight and stringent requirements. Again, it's this idea of focusing more on the borrower, making it more friendly, more usable, and looking at what it will take to have them succeed. So listening and then enacting changes based on those conversations.
Gene Schrieffer is the executive director of the Wisconsin Farm Service Agency offices. Now, the changes to the farm loan program will not become effective until September 25th. What they're working on right now is adjusting collateral requirements to acquire an FSA loan. They also shrunk the application from 29 pages down to 13, and they're doing more of this work online.
Beef producers, make plans now to attend the Stockmanship and Stewardship event in Lancaster on August 28th and 29th. This will be an action-packed agenda featuring topics from cattle health and well-being to pasture management and land stewardship, complemented by low-stress cattle handling demonstrations. From cow-calf to feedlot topics, it's covered and close to home. Go to www.stockmanshipandstewardship.org for more details and to register.
And we're less than 24 hours away from the state's largest outdoor agriculture event, Wisconsin Farm Technology Days. Chippewa County hosting it at a neutral site, Country Fest Grounds in Cadott. Show hours are 9 a.m. till 4 p.m. daily. And remember, the cost of admission at the gate, $15 per person. That's a look at food news. I'm PM Yonke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 70s. Clear tonight, 55, sunshine, and 81 for Tuesday. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, lows in the mid-50s. Slight chance of a shower Wednesday, otherwise mostly sunny, 81. Showers and thunderstorms likely Wednesday night, 62.
It's 57 at our studios.
Do you know or work with kids who have special health care needs? Help them live their best lives. Contact Wisconsin Wayfinder Children's Resource Network. Our specialists will connect you with services in your area. Wisconsin Wayfinder is free and confidential. Call 877-947-2929 or visit dhs.wi.gov/wiscway. Connect today. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
CapTime's Idea Fest is back for a week of powerhouse speakers and sessions exploring important local and national topics. September 15th through the 21st in Madison. This year's guest speakers include Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, former Member of Congress Liz Cheney, Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson, and historian Heather Cox Richardson, along with many others. Idea Fest brings together changemakers to discuss Wisconsin's triumphs and failures to help reach a better state. Purchase your tickets today at CapTimesIdeaFest.com to join this premier thought festival.
Pete Schwaba.
I'm on vacation this week, so for tonight's episode, we will bring you some of my favorite moments from previous Nightlight episodes. I'll be back and ready to light it up again on August 19th.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba, weeknights 7 till 9.
How could he know this new dawn's light would change his life forever? Set sail to sea.
If you'd like to play Name That Tune with Pat and try to fool me on your favorite Metallica song, you can call us at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. Now, I'm going to guess that this is a Metallica song, but you know at some point you could have thrown like anything else at me and said it was a Metallica song.
Yeah, I know that, but I wouldn't do that to you. Plus, I would take any chance to listen to Metallica in the morning, especially on a Monday. So you're really, honestly, Pat, you're just really doing me the favor today. This was the highlight of my week, and it's just Monday.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Who are we listening to? What are we listening to? What song?
This is a song called The Unforgiven 3. So,
The Unforgiven 3? I knew there was an Unforgiven. Was there an Unforgiven Part 2?
Yes, there was an Unforgiven Part 2. It's a three-part piece of, released over the course of, 17 years.
Okay.
But yeah, that was off of Death Magnetic.
Now I'm starting to think that this might be like the classics, like Beethoven's Ninth. Mm-hmm. You know,
Thank you.
There be an entire suite of Unforgiven tunes?
Thank you. Is that the first time? It's not the first time someone's listened to Metallica and said sweet.
All right, we're going to get into the Olympic closing ceremonies here and some of the other highlights of the Olympics. But first, I wanted to just tackle a few comments that have come in from folks either on the text line or on social media. That's what I was trying to say. We were talking about tipping here, and Virginia writes in, servers have a super hard job and deserve to be fairly paid by their employer. The guest is not the employer. The owner is. Very fair point. Brian writes, anything that Trump does on tips is designed to open up the quote-unquote gratuity bribery that the U.S. Supreme Court just legalized. That's exactly right, Brian. The Supreme Court basically is saying that almost anything can now be considered a gratuity. And it's going to potentially wreak havoc on the entire compensation structure of, you know, workers in the United States. Let's see. We also had Alicia noting that the, you know, quote unquote pro-life crowd talks a lot about, you know, having more babies. And Alicia writes, if they want us to keep having babies, then they need to help us take care of them. And again, very true comment there that she put on YouTube. And then there were several comments today from somebody new who I'm not even going to say is necessarily a somebody. I'm not even going to mention with the name. I'm just going to share a couple of comments and then note something about their Facebook profile. Anyway, it says, minimum wage is a starting wage for young workers. It wasn't intended for spending your life working at. Keep your pants on if you can't earn more. Your talk on tips is hilarious as you complain. If you were a better employee, your tips would be more. And then a few other comments go on as well about, the presidential race. Basically, we went over to this profile, found that it has no cover photo, no friends, nothing but crude language against anybody they disagree with. And most important of all, a Confederate flag for a profile picture. So congratulations on support of a domestic terrorist organization. And we're done there. But wanted to let you know, there's still people out there on social media willing to spread all kinds of, you know, hate and disinformation rather than engage in a good discussion about whether something is a good idea for workers and for families or is not. Would love to have your thoughts on that at 855-75-CIVIC. But we're going to turn now toward, Greg, the close of the Olympics, which makes me very, very sad because I don't know what Eric Hovde is going to wear next. I mean, all throughout the Olympics, he's been in that shirt with the kind of looks like it was an American flag was cut up and then put back together with the red and white stripes on the one sleeve and the blue field of stars on the other sleeve and USA emblazoned on his chest. And he talks about how America's really taken a lot of hits lately as we have the strongest economy in the world right now. Yeah. So I don't know what Eric Hovde's going to do next. I'll miss that part of the Olympics.
It'll probably be a series of shirts that say things like, I'm from Wisconsin. And, oh, man, you know, it's awesome. Wisconsin. And Dem Packers. And then the Packers would be like, you can't put our name on your stuff in a commercial. You don't have the permission. You'd be like, oh, sorry, Wisconsin.
The Olympics themselves, though, will be remembered for having a smooth run. They had certainly some controversial moments, not the least of which was, I don't know if you heard about how the gymnastic, there's a gymnast, Jordan Chiles from the U.S., who thought she'd came in fifth, but then there was a scoring appeal, and the poor Romanian girl who thought she'd came in third was already standing out there with the Romanian flag, and they said, oh, yep, the appeal is granted. The American actually it comes in third place, and you see how she's all heartbroken.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, in an appeal of the appeal, they reversed themselves again and said, no, the athlete from Romania will get the bronze medal. The U.S. will have to give the medal back, because while you could appeal – and while the grounds of the appeal were solid, the appeal has to come in within 1 minute. And the American appeal came in at 1 minute and 4 seconds. And so your appeal is solid, but it was late. So it's denied. So now you got to give the medal back.
Oh, my God.
So that was fun.
I think they should both get bronze medals because other people are terrible, you know.
And that's what the Romanian team said. Yeah, they were willing to share the bronze medal, and that's really how it should end up. Same thing goes for the high jump. There was this, they needed a jump off between the top two, one fellow from American and one from New Zealand. Mm-hmm. And they actually shared the gold medal 4 years ago. Yeah. They tied. You could have a jump off or you could share the medal. They decided, so they each got a gold medal 4 years ago.
Yeah.
This time around, the American said, oh, no, I want a jump off. And he lost. Uh-huh. So the New Zealand jumper out jumped him and won the gold medal. So, you know, it's all part of the competition. Again, they have the right to go whichever way they want.
Yeah.
My favorite, though, and I'm going to ask Terry Bell about this as well. One of my favorite moments came over the weekend in beach volleyball, where two teams, I don't recall which two, but they were jawing at each other through the net. And these women were getting really angry at each other. And, I mean, you really did think one was going to take a swing at the other or something. The referee was trying to get between them and eventually issued a yellow card to one side. And God bless the PA announcer or, you know, MC or whoever was in charge of the sound system.
Yeah.
Started playing John Lennon's Imagine.
Yeah, I heard about
and
that.
The whole crowd starts singing. And you see all four women, just first they look a little chagrined, and then they smile, and then a couple of them start to applaud the crowd. It was masterful at how to de-escalate a situation, is to get an entire crowd to sing Imagine to these people who were about to be having a fist fight.
Over beach volleyball. You know, that was the thing, is like 2 weeks ago you asked me and Jane asked me as well. It's like, are you going to watch any Olympics? And I was like, no, I don't really care. And then I watched more Olympics for this year than I ever have in my life. And I have to say, I was just inspired by the sportsmanship, the camaraderie, you know, that, like, I feel like the Olympics are the one time when everyone can chant USA and hold an American flag with no politics and no anything other than, like, we love our country because we love these athletes and they love each other and they're having a great time, and let's just have great time for 2 weeks and we can get back to this stuff later. But it really is fun.
But now I'm going to throw a monkey wrench into the works.
Thanks,
here.
Pat.
Part of the reason why it was that way was there was no Russian team. There was none of that. There would have been all of that extra tension, that extra competition, the geopolitical concerns. But because between the invasion of Ukraine, but more importantly for the Olympics, all the times they cheated by doping, they were not part of the Olympics. And I was kind of thinking about the peace and harmony and going, oh, wait, that's because the Russians weren't there. And I'm not making the case to always exclude them. I'm just saying that, you know, good on them for what they would have done in the old days as well. We don't want to upset anybody, so we'll let the Russians in and we'll just tell them again, please don't cheat. Mm-hmm. And they just had finally had enough and said, no, this is for people that actually want to compete on the level.
Yeah.
And so that was part of it. I also wanted to, again, congratulate the women's basketball team. 8 gold medals in a row. They now have a 61-game winning streak in Olympic competition, the U.S. women's basketball team. The men's team, on the other hand, I mean, they had to fight tooth and nail till the very end in the gold medal game and to win it. And congratulations on them for doing it. But I did hear a point of view that I thought was very interesting. Okay, you don't remember the Dream Team, but you're familiar with the Dream Team from Barcelona in 1992.
Yes, I do.
When they
do.
First let NBA stars play in the Olympics.
I wasn't a baby. I was like 14 or 15 years old.
Yeah, exactly. You might not remember that. You were very young back then. there was, you know, for the next couple of Olympics after that, you know, it was always a slaughter. Mm-hmm. The competition, not the band that I mix up with Metallica sometimes. But I like the point of view that by allowing the NBA stars in, what they really did was they raised the level of competition mm-hmm. around the world.
Yeah.
To say, look, if you want a gold medal, you got to step up your game. Here's how you do it. And now we're at that point. We're at that point where, you know, any one of those teams could have beaten the Americans if they were having an off day. So there was that inspiration to give you a better level of competition. And I guess you could argue that level of competition maybe is more exciting than with the women right now, where, again, they won their 8th gold medal in the row. So, you know,
yeah,
you get more competition when everybody is on a level of parity to some degree.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you enjoy a good old fashioned blowout, but like every single time mm-hmm. it can be like, but good on the women's basketball team. I'm glad they won the gold.
Oh yes. Yeah.
I have to say I loved all the universal support and the worldwide laugh of the breakdancing competition that took place this weekend, which is not coming back for the 2028 Olympics.
No,
but yeah, I mean, it's honestly like, and for me, I am a tennis fan, and Novak Djokovic took on Carlos Alcaraz in this mm-hmm. this year for the gold, and I would, you know, if you have the Peacock and you can watch it, I would, and you can follow tennis, watch that match. It's watching two world class players and then seeing a man reach his ultimate goal and just showing the world how much he loves his country. I mean, he collapses and mm-hmm. sobs. And this is coming from a man who people have written articles like, is he okay? Is he not a nice person? Is he a jerk?
He's a jerk.
He's just a high world-class competitor, and he doesn't have to appease you, but right. you see him just show how much love and compassion and just everything he has for the game and for his country of Serbia.
Mm-hmm. So that takes us to the closing ceremonies, where a couple of things. Her did the national anthem for the United States, which they played because the next Olympics will be in Los Angeles. She did a fantastic version. She like rescued the national anthem after that singer at the Home Run Derby, yeah. who then admitted afterwards that she was drunk. But every so often it reminds us that that's a tough song to sing mm-hmm. and that it's very easy to butcher, even when sober, but that you can do it right. And her did a fantastic job of that and playing the guitar. The orchestra played this really beautiful version of the French national anthem, La Marseillaise. Very sweet, very orchestral. I didn't know the French national anthem could be done that way. I thought you had to shout it enthusiastically, like in Casablanca, you know, Allons avant de la patrie. It's like, no, don't shout at me. It's a very beautiful rendition. And then they put Tom Cruise on top of the stadium. And he jumps off of there and he grabs the Olympic flag. And then he's on a motorcycle. And then he's parachuting out of an airplane as they go to a pre-filmed part of it. The whole thing was a typical Hollywood handoff.
Yeah.
And so now we'll get the Olympics in Hollywood 4 years from now. And I'm just very glad this time around that the Olympics were in Europe because of the time zone difference. Because we watched the closing ceremonies at 3 p.m. And that way, when they came on later, they're like, oh, yeah, we saw that. We don't need to see the Parade of Nations and all that. It's time to go. So I was very happy with that. I think it was very nice overall. We're going to ask Terry Bell a bit about the volleyball and get 3 things you need to know to start the week right after this. You're up north. Search for
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Warm weather, humidity, and thunderstorms in Wisconsin bring mosquitoes that bite and annoy us throughout the spring and summer months.
They're there. They're always there. And then when we have high rainfall years, they're going to be more prevalent.
In fact, the first confirmed case of the West Nile virus has bitten Wisconsin. It was found in a blood donor from Washington County and also in a dead bird in Chippewa County. The West Nile virus is spread to humans, birds, and other animals through the bite of these infected mosquitoes.
Eliminate any water sources, dump those flower pots out, don't let dog or kitty pools sit, fill them when you're going to use them, and then dump them out. Clean the gutters, reduce those sources is definitely going to help. You want to still be able to enjoy your yard.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
The start of a big four-game series for the Brewers taking on the LA Dodgers at American Family Field starting tonight, 7:10 first pitch, pregame at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. Civic Media News Director Terry Bell is with us now. We mentioned it in the last segment, Terry, but being the volleyball fan that you are, and I know you were watching a lot of the indoor volleyball, did you catch that beach volleyball match where the women were almost having a fist fight? And then the PA announcer played John Lennon's Imagine and the crowd serenaded them.
I did not see it, but I heard about it. Yeah, that was something.
It's definitely worth looking up just because, again, watching the crowd get in and watching the athletes completely de-escalate and and get back into the narrative. But as far as the indoor volleyball went, the American women, I watched most of that gold medal game as I assume you did as well. And I mean, it was a reminder that the American women, for as good as they are, again, the level of competition worldwide is up there. And so for Italy to beat them in straight sets, you know, says, yeah, there's still some work to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The top teams in the world are very competitive. You know, if you started that whole tournament all over again next week, you might eventually have a different gold medal winner at the end of 2 weeks. So it just goes to show how competitive they are. And yeah, I mean, USA, they stumbled out of the block at the beginning of the games, then got stronger, and it looked like they were just getting better and better every game. But boy, they just ran into a buzzsaw in Italy.
Boy, did they ever. But again, so enjoyable to watch. So athletic, so talented, such a reminder that they're playing above a level that any of us, you know, would do when we're in a bar league, you know, taking one right to the face. And getting to three things you need to know to start the week, obviously the Olympics concluding is one of those things. But another one has really been the change in the vibe of the presidential race, now that Vice President Kamala Harris is the nominee for the Democratic Party. We saw that in Western Wisconsin this week and continued to see it all last week during that tour of swing states.
Yeah, the polling seems to back this up. It is a whole new race. 3 weeks ago, it was a bit more decisive, things leaning in Donald Trump's direction. But since Joe Biden got out and Kamala Harris got in, it is, like we've been saying a couple times, a whole new race. So the New York Times surveyed three battleground states. Harris has about a 4-point lead in those three. I believe those are Wisconsin, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. And, you know, Donald Trump knows this, and he's getting concerned. That's why he held that press conference last week and why he, you know, in the eyes of many people, seemed a bit unhinged in that press conference. The pressure is getting to them, it would seem.
Yeah, I mean, there's just no, they were not prepared to have a ready set of talking points that had been tested for effectiveness. It's kind of much more has this throwing anything at the wall to see if it sticks, and you'll continue to see that in the days and weeks to come until they will find something. You know, the elections are fluid that way. There, you know, there are ups and downs all the way through. But needless to say, after the rallies in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and over the weekend in Arizona and then in Las Vegas, there's clearly a sea change in the energy level, at least at this point. But now we have to take a break, because before we can go back to talking about the presidential election in November, we have primary elections in Wisconsin tomorrow, along with a very important pair of referenda on the state constitution.
Yeah, that's one of the three big ticket items, and we'll be following that all night tomorrow night on many civic media radio stations, talking about, first of all, yes, the constitutional amendments. Then secondly, big primaries in the western Wisconsin, in the 3rd Congressional District for the Democrats, and then in northeast Wisconsin in the 8th District for the Republicans. Those will be very interesting to watch. Each of the candidates in those races bring their strengths, and the question is, you know, which strengths will win out ultimately by tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. I have some breaking news, Terry and Greg. Apparently, because of our conversations, I'm looking at Civic Media and the feed of our show on the Civic Media Facebook page, and I'm not kidding about this. Normally, it says your video is muted because maybe one of the record companies, you know, hears their music and it's copyrighted. No, no, no. The advisory from Facebook above the video of today's show is your video is blocked and can't be viewed in Russia.
Yeah, that's happened to Matt and Aaron Air too, and I think Belarus
too. Wow,
that is Facebook always listening.
God, that's eerie.
So, so apologies if you're talking to a friend in Russia later today and mention the show, and they'll say, "Oh, sorry, I couldn't get it for some reason," and that's the whole reason why. So anyway, let's see what we were going to say as well in terms of, you know, Russia and its war with Ukraine. Very interesting tactic by Ukraine to now basically strike targets inside of Russian territory.
Yeah, and it seems to be changing the dynamic of that whole conflict, and the world is watching very closely, and you know, it's remarkable, you know, what Ukraine has been able to do. I mean, this war is going on close to almost 2 years now. I'm guessing I'm pulling that out of thin air.
Two and a half now, I think.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, the fact that they still have the wherewithal to launch this kind of offensive is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, it says something about the alliance and being able to keep, Ukraine supplied with arms. And again, you know, while nobody wants to see a bloody war, there's a difference between sending, you know, no weaponry there versus sending American troops. And so again, this is all speculative from everybody, but if this incursion into Russian territory improves Ukraine's hand at the negotiating table to bring perhaps a ceasefire or an end to the war, then you can see why they might have done it. But again, it could be, and I think Tony mentions this as well. Yeah, it's a huge gamble to use up their resources in this way. And I'm going to defer to people who study wars and things like that more than me. But that too is one of the things you need to know to get the week started. The Civic Media Newsroom will be following this. News Director Terry Bell, thank you very much.
Thank you, Pat. You too.
Mr. Bach, back for Matt and Aaron Air in 2 hours.
Yes, sir.
All right. Say goodbye, Greg.
Goodbye, Greg.
All right. And tomorrow we will be talking about tariffs and Donald Trump and farmers. We'll talk to Hans Breitenmoser about Trump's last trade wars with China and their impact on Wisconsin farmers. That's coming up tomorrow morning here on Up North News Radio. Up North News is the Wisconsin outlet for Courier Newsroom, a pro-democracy news network, building a more informed, engaged, and representative America. Have a great Monday. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll get you caught up on the weekend news and look ahead to the Tuesday primary day in Wisconsin. Be a voter. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Native American issues are human issues. Join Robert Plant with Native Roots for their program Awake at their new time of 9 p.m. Mondays through Fridays. Awake is proudly sponsored by Wisconsin Community Health Representatives.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.